Yes, it is Friday, December 9. You are listening to the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you if you are just tuning in. Australia last night finished at stumps 3 for 330 with Marnus Labuschagne not out 120, Travis Head not out 114. The Kings won in the NBL 88-81 against the Breakers. The Hawks got smashed by the South East Melbourne Phoenix 111-72. World Cup quarterfinals this weekend. What about the games we've got? England-France highlight, surely. And hopefully we see Brazil and Argentina meet in a semi-final, provided they can get past Croatia and the Netherlands, respectively. Portugal-Morocco, the other quarter-final. What will they do with Ronaldo? We'll have Mossy on to preview it all after 8 o'clock this morning. Also look at the A-League resumes this weekend after the break for the World Cup, and certainly should have some momentum off the back of the Socceroos' performance as well. Now, it's the Big Sports Breakfast Christmas party today, and we mentioned some, you know, I guess some train mishaps earlier, and the listeners never disappoint. Lozza on the text line here. What have we got here? Morning, boys. Firstly, this one. After a big Christmas drink, I caught the train home to Hurstville, but woke up in Kembla. Switched tracks to head back, but woke up back in Central. Listen to everyone. Book a cab or Uber. Uber, says Paula from Balgala. Sending that one through. Morning, boys. Just a little Christmas party travelling story. My mate left a shindig in Newcastle the early hours one morning, falling asleep on the train in which he thought he was travelling back to Dungog. When he woke, he was in Singleton. As he caught the train back to Dungog, which is over an hour away, he was rolled by a bunch of young punks, losing his wallet and phone, as well as a few bumps and bruises. The Ginch Ninja.
Shouldn't laugh.
Sending that one through. Hey, boys, as a first-year apprentice plumber in 1973, I was informed by my fellow workmates that we were expected to attend the Christmas lunch at the Southside Caravan Park in a suit. I rocked up in my best bag of fruit, only to notice everyone else was in casual attire. Ah, you've fallen for it. Good on you, Peter from Canberra. You've fallen for the old three-card trick there.
Never trust anyone, Mido.
No, seriously. I bet your mates would do that to you. They'd be like, mate, you got to wear this. And you would, you'd nearly fall for it.
No, I wouldn't fall for it.
No?
I wouldn't fall for it. The other one where you've got to be careful, and this is where mateship comes into play and who you trust. If you're out somewhere, either at a function or just in a pub, and you see someone and you say to your mate, oh, geez, what's his name again? You've got to be careful who you ask that to.
Because they'll just say,
because they will just
Bruce,
give you,
when
yeah,
it's Dave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he'll come over, and then if you say the wrong name, you just feel like an idiot, which has happened a couple of times to me. You go the big stab at it, and you get it wrong, and then you look at your mate going, you idiot. So I've learnt who to ask now in my mateship group.
Is it that one particular mate who might be your neighbour who is top of the tree?
Yeah,
the
he's pretty good at it. Yeah, but now he says it and you just don't believe anything he says.
Yeah. He's got his Christmas party the same day as ours today. He's expecting our presents.
He is, and I can't wait to go there because I'm just going to order drinks for the sake of ordering drinks. Knowing that he's paying.
Bill.
Yeah, going to run up the bill heavily. I'll be ordering double bourbon and cokes and everything. Don't even drink it.
And top shelf.
Oh, yeah.
Go the top shelf.
Oh, yeah. He knows it's coming too.
Adam Pengilly, a very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. That was a funny story about getting going asleep on the train. You know that train station at Kembla, Jared? It's actually only got like a really small platform. So you have to be on like only two or three carriages or you can't get off. Like you literally walk off over the edge. That's a true story.
And I'm sure at midnight, at the end of your Christmas party, the last thing you're thinking, if you got the carriage down the end, is, oh, no, I've got to get to the middle, so I'm on the platform.
Yes, yeah. You know, when they come over the PA with that announcement saying, you know, that if you're on the first two or three carriages, you need to move and go down to the middle of the train. That's what it's like at Kembla.
Oh, as if you're listening to what's been said over the PA.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Jeez, that could be nasty.
Let's talk some footy, and you've written today in the Herald about, well, the Bulldogs roster clean out, I guess, as they look to clear some salary cap space, and no doubt this will help in particular with the offer they're going to probably put at Matt Burton's feet shortly.
Yeah, they're still chipping in for Corey Allen, Jared. Obviously, he's going to be on way to the Roosters. Still had a year to run on his deal. It just hasn't worked out for him, has it, since he's moved from South to the Bulldogs. Remember, he came off that great year in 2020 where he filled in for Latrell Mitchell at fullback at South in the back end of the season when Latrell was injured, and he had a great Origin series under Wayne Bennett. And then big money move to the Bulldogs, and he just never really found his feet, did he, at all? Only played a few games last year, so... The Bulldogs are continuing to make roster moves. That's the third player they've moved, I think, since the end of the season. It was under contract for next year after Josh Jackson and Aaron Schopp. And they've still got some serious work to do in the market. I think Matt Burton's obviously their priority at the moment. I can't see him going anywhere, if I'm being honest, boys. Just all the reports I'm getting is that he's very keen to stay at the Bulldogs. He's obviously keen to be coached by Cameron Serrato. He's a really good vibe around the place. So I'd imagine he'll be staying at the Bulldogs. But Gus Gould's roster clean-out, I suppose, or roster makeover, and put it in those terms, is well and truly gathering pace. And we'll see how that plays out in the next few months.
Yeah, I see Gus is cleaning the decks and bringing in players. And I think they'll keep Matt Burton. But there's also the speculation about Mitch Moses. I'm just wondering where they will have all that salary cap space, because everyone that they've brought in, they've had to pay a fair chunk of money too.
Yeah, well, Kikio's on big money, loss. Obviously, Reid Marnie's on big money. Tevita Pangai Jr.
Burton again will be big money.
100%. And Tevita Pangai Jr. is on big money as well. Don't forget that too. So he's still under contract for a couple of years. So they are probably, you could say, a little bit top-heavy, but a lot of people are saying that they've still got two sort of missing pieces at halfback and fullback. Kyle Flanagan and Jake Averillo will try and bed down those positions again next year in 2023. Whether the Bulldogs re-sign both those players going forward to 2024 or not, I'm not too sure. I don't know where Mitchell Moses stands, Loz. I've been trying to get a bit of a gauge on it the last couple of days. It's a difficult one. It's a really difficult one, because I think there's definitely interest from other clubs. Whether Parramatta are going to be willing to go to the price that Mitchell wants, which would be clearly around that $1 million mark and potentially a little bit in excess of that to stay at Parramatta, I'm not too sure. But I reckon these clubs want a decision pretty soon, Laws. They don't want to be hanging around too long. I don't want to get into the CBA debate, and there's no clarity over salary cap yet. But if you're a Parramatta, you want to know, if he's not going to be at Parramatta in 2024, you want to spend that money elsewhere. Yeah. And you probably want a decision pretty soon.
Adam, what's the latest with Ryan Madison, mate, that grand final suspension?
Yeah, Clarkie, Bart's had a really interesting story, I think it was last week, suggesting that Parramatta were going to try and potentially argue with the NRL to have that ban overturned and actually pay the fine and say that, given all the celebrations after the grand final last year and they didn't have a lot of time to make a call, that he wanted to reverse his decision. Well, I don't think there's any appetite whatsoever from the NRL to change that. So it looks at this stage that Ryan Madison will still have to sit out the first three games of next season, which is a huge blow for Parramatta. And I know you guys spoke about it at the time, I spoke about it at the time. It was a crazy decision. I can't believe a guy in that situation who, let's be honest, was earning some pretty healthy money would be against paying such a fine like that and miss out on three games. So whether that was all, he got swept up in all the celebrations and emotion of the end of the season, I'm not too sure. But I don't think the NRL is going to backtrack at the moment and allow him to get off and pay the fine and play those first three games next year.
Sifa Talakai's gone, staying at the Sharks, just watching his highlights here in the studio where he tore Manly apart back earlier in the year, but he had a breakout year as well.
Yeah, important signing for the Sharks, Jared, given he played Origin as well, and he was great for the majority of the year. Definitely a breakout season, and another piece of the puzzle in place for the Sharks, given they've got a few guys they need to re-sign. They had their entire back five off contract at the end of last season, basically heading towards this free agency period. So they've locked down Ronaldo Mulitalo now. You can throw in Sifa Talakai. They've still got some work to do with Sione Katoa, Jesse Raymond and Will Kennedy. The interesting one for me is at fullback there for the Sharks. I think Craig Fitzgibbon's going to have to make a call at some stage in the next few months about how he wants that long-term fullback position to play out for the Sharks, because they've got Will Kennedy, who was great last year for the majority. He obviously had that bad injury towards the end of the season, was a little bit, I suppose, short in terms of game time heading towards the finals. They've also got young Cade Dykes, who I think is a really promising player coming through the system, made his debut last year. And also Lockie Miller, who Newcastle have been sniffing around as well, trying to get up to the Knights for an immediate switch. So Cronulla do have several options there, and I don't know if they're completely sold on which one's their long-term number one heading towards next year and beyond. So something you think would have to give at some stage in the next 12 months in regard to those fullbacks, and they've got some big calls to make, the Sharks.
All right, Ramley, tomorrow, the Ingham Day. Before we get your best, have you got any firm opinion in the Ingham at all? Gee, Nuggets into 3:30 and it's still an emergency.
I know. He needs to get a run. I think betting has been stifled, Jared, to be fair, given he hasn't got a start in the race yet. And that race, the Ingham Villiers there tomorrow, you could have 7 or 8 in the quaddy and still miss. It is an absolute nightmare doing the form there last night. I still think Brutality's got something to offer. I know he hasn't won since this race last year, and I've been a bit of a fan of his all the way through. He's had some flashing light runs. I just think getting down to 54 kilos, if I'm going to have a bet in the race, I might have something each way on him. He's the way I want to play, but it's an extremely difficult race, and I won't be getting too busy in that race. My value bet on the program, Jared, comes up in the last race of the day, and that's going to be race 10, number 14, Banjo. I tipped this horse a few weeks ago on the program before a midweek meeting. He was eventually scratched, and he went to a Saturday race and didn't disgrace himself. I think just getting down the weight to Amy McLucas in this race from a nice soft gate, he'll settle not too far from the speed at around that sort of $14, $15 mark, hopefully. I think he's a nice each-way play. So that's race 10, number 14, Banjo, on what looks a very, very difficult day for Ingham Villiers Day there at Randwick tomorrow.
What about in the two-year-old race, the Inglis Nursery? Do you like anything in that?
Facile looks the obvious one, Loz. She trialled up really nicely. Really promising type. Looks professional for Gerald Ryan and Sterling Alexiou. I don't want to get too involved in the race with all of these first starters, but if I'm having a bet, she's the way I want to play around that even money mark. She's probably her rightish price. But, yeah, another little tricky race on the program.
Before you go, who makes the World Cup semi-finals? Will we see the dream Brazil-Argentina matchup and Portugal up against Morocco, England, France, 6 a.m. Sunday morning? What a game that's going to be.
Yeah, I think Netherlands has a chance of rolling Argentina, Jared. I think I've been impressed by the Netherlands throughout the whole tournament. And outside of Messi, I don't think Argentina have been that impressive all throughout the tournament. I think he's clearly probably the world's best player. And doesn't matter what team you put him in, he's going to be able to carry a team to a World Cup final. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Dutch can beat Argentina in the quarterfinal. I think Brazil will progress. And I, call me crazy, I honestly think England's a massive chance of winning this World Cup. I think they can get past France and go all the way and win it.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. 100%, Jared.
Is their defence good enough?
Well, at the start of the time, I didn't think it was. But from what I've seen so far, Harry Maguire's been playing great. John Stones hasn't been having regular football for Man City. He's been pretty good. Kyle Walker's going to be the man for them because he's got to stop Mbappe down that left-hand side. And I think Gareth Southgate will go for Kyle Walker, given his pace. He's probably the quickest man across the English back line to try and contain Mbappe to some sort of level where he's not going to do you too much damage. So I still think England are a massive chance of getting past France. I think they'll probably beat Portugal in the semi-final and go all the way and win the whole tournament. So, yep, that's my pick at the moment.
One for you Manchester United fans as well. I see that just to add some spice to this Netherlands-Argentina match, I see Angel Di Maria has described, well, Dutch coach Louis van Gaal, who, of course, he played under at Manchester United, as, the worst coach of his career.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. He only had a very brief stay on Old Trafford. And didn't he have some issues, Jared? I'm sure he had some issues with his house was broken into by intruders and his family was quite shaken by that. And that was the end of him at Manchester. He was like, I'm out of here. I've had enough. And he left. So there's been a spate of those, haven't there, in the last few years over in the UK. It's quite scary. Professional footballers having their homes broken into. And even Raheem Sterling had to leave the World Cup just a last week because, of course, his family's home was broken into in the UK while he was in Qatar. So, that was quite scary. But, looking forward to that Netherlands and Argentina quarterfinal. Should be an absolute cracker.
What was your read into the comments by Dave Warner's manager yesterday, James Erskine?
Well, so much for wanting this to go away and not wanting to drag his family through through the whole situation. Again, I don't blame James Erskine for just saying the truth, Loz, to be honest. If he feels like he wants to get something off his chest and Dave's camp wants to...
The truth or his version of the truth?
Well, his version of the truth, I suppose, if you put it in those terms. If they want to try and correct the record in some respects to what they think actually happened over there in South Africa, I don't mind that. But Clarkie knows this better than anyone. This has just lit a fuse under it now. This will not stop for several weeks, months probably now, that these comments have been put out in the public domain. So, I don't know. David's going to have to play with a spotlight on him the whole entire Test series, Test summer now against South Africa as well. And if he's not scoring runs, well, you know what? You know what the narrative's going to be, Clarkie.
Well, this is the thing as well. Davey's restricted, like all players, not legally, but you're restricted in what you say because you want to protect your teammates. Yeah. You don't want to do the wrong thing by them. Your manager is not. Your manager cares about you and you only. So James Erskine obviously cares about Davey Warner's reputation, and he wants to save it, or he wants to fix it, or he wants some truth to come out to say, hang on, Davey's been the scapegoat here. He's been the face of it, but Let's find out the truth, because again, Davey's got money to make, yes, now while he's playing, but James Erskine wants him to continue to make money when he retires. So I can understand James' situation, but in the same breath, the day before, Davey put a statement out saying he wanted to protect his family. This protect your family is say nothing.
Yeah.
This is the opposite. This is everything's going to come out. Everyone now is talking about it. It's front page, back page of the papers. And you're right, Davey's going to cop it on the field, and there's going to be talk about it off the field.
Yeah,
how does I worry for his kids. Like, his kids go to school. Yeah. I worry for Candace. Candace has got, you know, her own career, her own life as well. Like, they don't want to be hearing this. You don't want to be, you know, oh, your husband did this, or did your husband. They've even having to answer questions every single day. That's the part that, oh, man, I hate this.
I don't know how it ends, Clarkie. I really don't. The book
the truth.
Yeah,
well, the truth, because it's coming out in individual books anyway. So you might as well, if you're Cricket Australia now, where you've got different leadership, reopen the investigation and do it loud and proud, because the leadership's gone. If it comes out that, you know, somebody at Cricket Australia, whether it be, you know, staff, coaches, executive, whatever it is, if it comes out that other people knew, well, 90% of them have been sacked or have left their role anyway. So Cricket Australia is now in a great position to go as deep as they can to find out all the truth, because a lot of the people involved are not there.
Well, a hypothetical, Adam. Hypothetical. Current Australian captain, Pat Cummins. He was a part of that test team. Is that right?
I'm pretty sure he was in the squad.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was.
Right. Yep. So what happens if we're found that the bowlers
knew.
Everyone knew.
Yep.
Well, the whole bowling attack was playing that test match, weren't they? The same bowling attack we've got now.
Same bowling attack.
So where does that leave him as the Australian captain?
Oh, we're in a terrible position, I would have thought, Loz, if that's the road it goes down. But if you remember correctly, didn't the bowlers put out their own statement
at one stage?
They did.
Yep.
Saying they had no knowledge of it and tried to absolve themselves of any blame, which to me was just... was bizarre.
I think Pat Cummins' manager, Neil Maxwell, was the one that, I've got to be careful here, but I think, from what I've been told, that Neil Maxwell actually wrote the statement for the bowlers.
So
that's what I'm saying. The managers are looking after the individual, and you got to respect that. I understand that. But there's got to be, mate, there's a lot more untold here, that's for sure.
Yeah, and those bowlers have still got, what, I'm just assuming, especially in the case of Pat Cummins, at least 4 or 5 years of cricket in front of him to go. So, you know, we're talking about a massive risk here. With whatever comes out, it's going to have huge ramifications. So, I don't know. I think you're right, Clarkie. Cricket Australia got the chance to get on the front foot now and really try and put this to bed to an extent. Whether they want to go down that path or not, I don't know. I doubt it, probably. But I tell you what, it's exploded in the last 24 hours, hasn't it?
Have to leave it there, mate. Have a great weekend.
Okay, see you, boys.
Sky Racing's Ali Mosley, good morning to you.
Good morning, team.
The Ingham, who wins it?
Oh, boy. Let's get straight into it.
Straight into it.
No time to stuff around this morning. I found this so hard because there's three that I like and they've all drawn awfully. That is Sunshine Rising, Skyman, and Long Villas. How is the luck there? They've all drawn about as wide as they can get. So I was going to have a little something on each of them, given that we're going to get a price about them. So if you like any of them, maybe have a little something on each, I think, because I found it really tricky. I'm going to go with myself, Long Villas, each way at the quote. I've been waiting for him after he came out. We saw him on debut in Australia, and it was a super run. He ran great sectionals. He got scratched when I was waiting for him at Rose Hill. I've still been waiting, and I'm going to stick with him there at the each way price. He's got no weight on his back. Mick D comes up to ride him, actually, so that'll be interesting. And he's the one I'll go with. But honestly, I found it really tricky, and the three that I did like all drew the car park.
What about your best bets on the program?
Okay, guys, I'm going everywhere this week.
I'm going
absolutely everywhere. So I'm going to kick us off today at Scone in race six.
Beautiful.
Yep. I'm going with one of Cavs, so one of the local horses here in Fusashi family. A 5-year-old mare who's had 2 near misses. She stayed home today. She's on top of the ground. It should absolutely suit her to the ground. She's fit, deep into the preparation, and she's about $12.
Yeah, so she's $12.360 the place for such a family.
So I'm going with her in race six at Scone to kick us off. And then I'm rolling through to Canterbury, we're absolutely ripping in tonight. I'm doing Pick of the Yard as well, so I'll be on track. I'm absolutely everywhere again. And I've just looked at deductions. We've had one come out, which is a bit of a shame because she was $10 before. But in race three, I'm going with Princess Raya. She's a Kingman filly who I saw on debut at Warwick Farm. She looked like she'd got quite a bit of scope and improvement to come, but she did everything right in her first outing at the races. I felt like maybe she was there just to have a look and wasn't asked to do too much when she was first up at Warwick Farm, and I think she'll improve markedly off that. She is, well, she was $10 earlier with those deductions. She's into about $8.50.
Yep.
But I still really like her at the price. And then we carry on. Keeps going Friday night.
Love you, Sally.
I'm really ripping in, guys. I've gone all out. I've got Mark Schnell in race six, who has been, I guess, probably a little bit disappointing to date on paper. But if you look at both his runs, he's had a ninth and an eighth at Kembla, then at Rosehill. But he was running great sectionals, didn't get in the best part of the ground on either of those runs and hit the line strongly. So I think we'll see the best of him now fourth up. So that's him in race six.
Yep.
And I've got one more. Wait for it.
Beautiful.
And this is my best bet on the program, and that is Esson resuming for Richard Leet. We've got Tommy Berry aboard. She's at about, I think, 440. She might have got out of touch last night. I'm hoping that she drifts further and we get a better price about her close to the jump time. So if you're hoping to back her, I would wait a little bit. She was super last preparation, almost remained unbeaten, and then she came to town at Warwick Farm. It just didn't quite set up right for her, but she's absolutely flying in both her trials back. So
which race Esson is that?
That's race seven at Canterbury. Yep. Esson in the fillies and mares race Esson. Over 1,100.
Yes. Yeah. You're
and
seven,
then I've got one.
Eight. Yep.
And I've got one for us tomorrow at Rabbit. God, sorry, I'm just.
No, this is great.
Full of them.
This is what we want. And for our listeners, I'll repeat all these. I promise. Go for it.
And then I'm going to go early tomorrow at Randwick in the Midway, and I'm with King Rattel for Bryce Hayes at about $5.50 at the moment. Added him actually to my little black book after his run at Kembla
King
behind
Rattel.
Nugget.
Ali, comprehensive bets galore. I wasn't going to bet this weekend, but I am now. So thanks so much. You have a great one. And enjoy Canterbury tonight on Sky Thoroughbred Central for Pick the Yard. Pick of the
Thanks, guys.
A huge turn up here in the studio. Loz has suffered a neck injury during the news break, so we've got serious issues.
Sorry, mate.
You're right.
Yeah. Just hurt the neck.
Well,
not a good day to hurt it.
Well, you don't have to write. I'll give you this list of Ali's tips.
Right.
By the way, so just before the news, Ali gave us, she's got a lot that she fancies. So firstly, her bet in the Villiers tomorrow, which is the Villiers, the Ingham. And by the way, on the Ingham as well, so just a reminder that entry to Royal Randwick is free for frontline healthcare and emergency service workers to recognise their contribution to the community. Of course, the Ingham Day is honouring global icons of horse racing, Mr. Bob and Mr. Jack Ingham, and raising funds and awareness for the Ingham Institute for Applied Medical Research. So if you're a frontline healthcare and emergency service worker, just go to the Australian Turf Club website to pre-register for free entry tomorrow. So that's theraces.com.au. Theraces.com.au is the ATC's website to get involved there. But Ali in the Ingham, race 8, number 19, Long Villas. Each way, $18 the win, $6 the place. Now, she's got a lot of fancies today as well. Now, starting at Scone today. Race 6, number 11, Fusace Family. $12 the win, $3.60 the place. She also likes tonight at Canterbury, where she'll be doing Pick of the Yard for Sky Thoroughbred Central for the night meeting there. And she's keen on race 3, number 11, Princess Raya, $8.50 to win, $2.60 the place. Race 6, number 2, Max Schnell, which is the $4.40 favourite with Joe Pride training Nashra Willer in the saddle there. And her best bet, she said, on the card there at Canterbury tonight is race 7, number 8, Esson, for Richard Litt and Tommy Berry, which is the $4.20 favourite as it stands. Her best bet tomorrow at Royal Randwick is in the Midway. Race 2, number 4, King Rattel, $5.50 with Tab. So that's Ali Mosley's bets, and just put all that into the Sticky Wings Big Sports Breakfast multi-loss.
Yeah, race. This is all at Randwick tomorrow, by the way. Race 3, number 14, Operative to run top 2 into race 4, number 6, Gin Martini to place. And if you'd like to be a part of that Sticky Wings BSB multi, that's paying $8.
$8, Tab app, Tab website, click on Sport and today's offers. Australia at stumps on day one of the cricket last night in Adelaide. 3 for 330. And Dave Warner, 21, caught slashing wide, caught behind. Usman Khawaja, LBW, for 62. Steve Smith, caught and bowled Jason Holder for a duck as he takes over the captaincy just for this game with Pat Cummins injured with that quad strain. So Manus Labuschagne not out 120, Travis Head not out 114. At stumps, they've put on 199 after they came together at 3 for 131 to get Australia through 3 for 330. Okay, pup, what are they going to make in the first dig, the Aussies? Are they going to double what they've got?
585. Mm-hmm. I don't know what West Indies will make, but I reckon West Indies might be 4 for 60. Pink ball under lights, bowling this afternoon. Mitchell Stark swinging it. Yeah, it doesn't look good for West Indies at all. They're in deep trouble.
Yeah, deep trouble it looks like, no doubt about that. The Windies, just a big story over in the States, just seeing this morning as well. You've probably seen in the headlines a US basketball star, Brittany Griner. She was arrested at a Moscow airport for possessing cannabis oil back in February. And she's been, could you imagine this for a second, been in a penal colony in Russia. So yes, initially in jail, then she was sent to, you know, basically to do hard labour in a penal colony. I mean, what is this, 1900? Anyway, so she's heading home. So the Russian and US governments, who aren't exactly the best of friends, particularly at the moment, they've done a prisoner swap with some arms dealer who's been in a US jail for 12 years going the other way. So Brittany Griner headed home, which has obviously been a big headline story there. Like, she's significant, a big star over there in the States in women's
basketball. Well, as long as she's coming home, you know. I mean, you know, some people might disagree with a prisoner swap, but I think the family of Brittany Griner would be so happy that she's out of Russia and she's back home. You know, she's a WNBA basketball player, very well known over there in America, and she's been in that jail and penal colony for, you know, months. So let's hope that she's all okay and she gets back to the States nice and quickly.
Time to talk some Iron Women. Oh, the Iron Men and Women series starts next week in round 1 and 2 of the Nutri-Grain series. So next Saturday and Sunday in Manly. So that's December 17 and 18. And joining us now, top Iron Woman, 24 years of age from Newport. She's heading into her 8th pro series. So yes, she was 16 when she started. Lizzie Wellborn joining us. Lizzie, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on the show again. So what's changed, Lizzie, in the lead up to this year's series as you search for your maiden title? Because it didn't quite go to plan last summer, did it?
No, yeah. So last summer was definitely a very tough season for me and pretty much anyone who was training from New South Wales, like with all the lockdowns and everything. It was just a terrible preparation. And I mean, we made the most out of a bad situation, but this season we've been able to have a full off season. There's two other boys in my club who are in the series as well, and we've put in a lot of work and we're really excited to see what we can do with a full off-season under our belt.
Yeah, Lizzie, tell us about the pre-season. What does it look like for you? How long ago did you start your prep for this event? And also, is it important to get off to a good start?
Yeah, so my prep this season was a bit different to previous years because as you said, I didn't have a very good season last season and I had to re-qualify for the professional series. So there's this race that happened about a month ago now called the trials, and that's when the remaining 10 spots like get given to the athletes who didn't automatically qualify. So I had to start training a little bit earlier to prepare for that. So we started in about June or July and it's freezing and it's windy and it's always terrible weather, but we tough it out and get it done. And then, yeah, I... luckily made it through the trials, thank God. It's the most nerve-wracking weekend ever. And, yeah, now we're ready for rounds one and two next weekend. And we had a big week of training this week, and then we'll start to taper off next week to get ready for it.
Lizzie, can I ask, like, as a Iron Woman, and you're still relatively young, but when do they say you're coming to your peak of your powers as an Iron Woman? At what age?
Well, yeah, I think, so over the past few years, the Iron Women that have won the series have all been pretty different ages. So, like, Harriet Brown won it last year, and she's, like, over 30. And then there's been a girl who won it when she was 17 or 18. She was the youngest person to win it. That was Brielle Cooper. That was a couple of years ago now. But it's a mix. So I don't, like, because our sport involves so much, like, skill, fitness, and then obviously you get stronger as you get older as well. But because it involves so many different things, depending on the conditions, I think there can't be one perfect age.
Lizzie, when you say conditions, are we talking beach to beach is significantly different all around Australia? And then what about, you know, wind, rain, sun, swell? How significant is that in regards to your preparation leading into to race day?
Yeah, so that, one of the coolest things I think about our sport is that everywhere we race, it's always different, always a different condition, and it's going to suit different people. So you can never, like, there's never one, it's not like pool swimming where you kind of know who's going to win that race. Like, whatever, whoever puts their foot on the line on a single day has a chance to win one of our races. So, like, for the series coming up this season, we've got Manly, Maroubra, and then Carra, and they're all completely different beaches. They all face different directions and get different swells. So it will, like, I'm expecting there to be heaps of different conditions. But luckily enough, like, we, for us in New South Wales, like, Manly's just around the corner from us. So we've actually been doing a couple of training sessions there to try and get used to the conditions. And then Maroubra's not too far away as well. So we're lucky that we can kind of go to the beaches that we're racing at this season and test out the waters.
What would be your strongest leg, in your opinion?
Mine's definitely the board. That's kind of what got me into professional racing when I was so young. I was just a little whippet of a board paddler when I was little, and it got me into open racing, and then that's what got me into the series so young as well.
And Manly next week. I mean, you talk courses, but you could do Manly with your eyes closed, Lizzie, surely, couldn't you? Very much your local race.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be living in Manly for the past kind of 2 years. So I love Manly Beach, and it's such an iconic place for a Nutri-Grain race. So I can't wait for it to be all set up next weekend and to get excited about it as well.
This sport, I mean, you girls, you're clearly addicted to pain. I mean, tell me about, tell me, what's the toughest training session that you do? What do you do that's the one that you're like, wow, this is the one that mentally challenges me more than anything else?
Yeah, funnily enough, because, like, we are able to race in so many different conditions, when we go and do, like, a flat water session at a lake or at the harbour, I really, like, they're so hard because there's no escape from the effort that you have to put in. Like, you just have to go hard. You can't wait for a little run or a little wave or, like, sit and pop over a wave. Like, you just have to keep going. So definitely the flat water sessions are not my favourite, but you do get some hard work done doing those.
We're speaking with Iron Woman Lizzie Wellborn ahead of the start of the Nutri-Grain series in Manly next weekend. Now, aside from winning the title, Lizzie, what else are you looking to achieve in the sport?
Definitely winning the title is right up there. But one of my other big goals, kind of separate to racing, I'm really passionate about inspiring the next generation of young female athletes to stay in sport, not just in our sport, but in sport in general. And I'm a big believer in spreading that message. And I love working with the next generation of athletes.
And just in regards to, I guess, sponsorship these days in your sport, I mean, how tough is it to make a living out of it at the moment amidst the current climate of, you know, competition for sponsorship dollars in the corporate world? I mean, how is it for you?
So I'm to be completely honest, like, it is really hard to make a living out of our sport. No one really does it as their full-time job. We're all kind of doing other stuff on the side. I'm really lucky to have a great team of sponsors and supporters around me that allow me to for this to be my main thing. Except, yeah, it does get hard, and there is competition. But yeah, I'm super grateful to have a great team.
Oh, great stuff. Well, we'll be chucking in certainly next weekend in Manly, Lizzie, and hope it is a great season for you and for our listeners as well. You can catch all the action from the Nutri-Grain series live on SBS and Fox Sports as well. So enjoy, good luck, and we'll chat soon.
Thank you, guys.
Get into Totally Workwear Rydalmere for all your summer workwear gear. We stock the biggest and best brands like King G, Hardjacker, FXD, and Steel Blue. Does your workwear branding need a freshen up? Darren and the team will get you sorted. Ask for Loz's discount when you buy your new pair of boots, and Darren will give you $20 off the price. Open until 7 p.m. every weekday. Totally Workwear Rydalmere, 279 Victoria Road, opposite Bunnings and Macca's. We have got you covered.
Sticky Wings, Big Sports Breakfast Multi, and just a couple of texts in wondering if you're backing the right horses. I promise you are. I see on the top line there, I think it says Sydney Race 3, number 1, and Sydney Race 4, number 1. Just ignore that. You are getting exactly what Lozza is going to read out right now.
Yeah, it's Race 3, number 14, Operative, to run top 2 into Race 4, number 6, Gin Martini, to place. And that's paying $8, Middo.
$8. Tab app, tab website, click on sport and today's offers for Loz just to fill your Christmas stocking. Heading towards what? How many weeks are we till Christmas?
I'll be two, is it?
Yeah, a couple.
On
two
Sunday.
And a half. So Loz is bringing the Christmas cheer with a multi tomorrow.
Cook your chicken.
Yeah, he's going to cook your chicken for you. Mm. Maybe even your turkey. Brad Davison's going to give us even more. Morning to you, Davo.
Morning, guys. How are we going?
Really well, thanks. Who are you expecting to run a big race in the very open Ingham tomorrow, Randwick?
Yeah, it's shaping as an open race, guys. If the favourite doesn't get a run, I think he's clearly the one to beat if he does. But if not, I'd be leaning towards horses like Riadini and Diamill. I think they can both run well at each way odds. Obviously, Riadini won the gong in pretty dominant style after sitting wide throughout. It was a day where you could sit wide, but I mean, he still was wide no cover the trip and still beat him easily. And look, he's a horse that generally improves throughout the preparation. And I think Diamill, a little bit concerned about drawing so low on a day where the rail's true. Generally, you want to get out towards the middle of the track when that's the case. But look, I think he's trekking nicely. I think he's one that gets in really well at the weights here. And I expect if he can get a good run throughout, he'll be hitting the line hard. He comes out of a really good form race last time out and loves the mile at Randwick. So they're the two that I'm sort of focusing around in the Ingham if the favourite doesn't get a run as expected.
What about the Inglis Nursery, mate?
Yeah, look, it's hard to go past this first starter for Seal for the Ryan and Alexia Yard. The two trials have been outstanding, and not only has she done it all within herself, but she's also run time on both occasions comparative to the older horses on the day. So looks exciting and look has been well back, 260, I think, into around that $2.10 mark. Getting to that sort of price where you get a little bit nervous taking those odds about a first starter because you know, they can do a lot wrong and things can happen in a race. But I think the exposed horses to date, I don't think there's anything there that's sort of knocking down the door in terms of feature races in the autumn at this stage. So I think she gets a really good opportunity to open her account in style. And, if she lives up to those trials, they don't always bring trial form to race day, but if she's able to do that, she's definitely the one to beat in the Inglis Nursery.
Now, there's another big race over in your home state tomorrow night as well for the rebranded Carnival in the West. And I see Valana's still in the field after having a bit of an issue, hasn't it? But it's $4 favourite for the Gold Rush, weight for age, 1,400 metre Group 3.
Yeah, Valana, obviously that rich feature race over there tomorrow, and he's had, I think, a stone bruise all the week. They're not 100% sure if it has actually been a stone bruise, but Nassim Dilmi, travelling former for Godolphin, has suggested that, look, he's going well. I think he's got a bit checked this morning to see whether he's right to go. Obviously, he missed the winter bottom. Hasn't exactly gone to plan for him over there at this stage, so we'll see how that all pans out, but it'd be interesting to see what the market does with him if he does get cleared because, you can look at it both ways and say, well, he's had a pretty good campaign over in Sydney. He'll be fit. That won't be too much of an issue. Or you say, well, you never want to set back leading into a feature race. He's missed a run, and I'm sure they haven't been able to do too much with him with that issue as well. So Yeah, so it's a fascinating one. There's no doubting his talent. He's a nice horse, and I'm sure if he's ready to rumble, he'll run well, but never ideal to have those sort of lead-ins like that.
What about at Randwick tomorrow, Davo? What's your best on the program?
Yeah, look, I found it a really tough day, Loz. Look, I think Nugget will probably win again, but he seems to be short enough, well-founded, $1.95 from the inside draw on a track that I expect to be playing sort of 4-5 off the fence. So that was the only little niggle I had with him, was the inside draw. Look, I landed on one, number 17, Penthouse. I just think she's drawing the car park, so it's hard to get very confident, but her form lines are terrific. Beat two lengths behind in Secret last preparation, comes out of a much stronger race than any of these come through first up as well, where she just felt the pinch late over 1,100. So I expect them to roll forward here. Being wide at ramp with Rail True's not much of an issue around the one turn. So even if she's sort of out three wide and just building into a rhythm, I think she's definitely got the right form. She gets in well at the weights, and at around that $5, I've sort of gone with her. But like I said, it's probably the toughest meeting I've come across for a while. It's very, very open right across the program. And I think it might be a day to sort of spec wide and look for some roughies and hope to get one home.
Okay, race one, number 17, Penthouse, $5 for Matty Dale and Brenton Abdullah. Have a great day, mate.
You too. Have a great weekend, guys. Cheers.